We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
From Lord Hobo Brewing Company, Red Sox Roundtable, previewing the 2019 season.
The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
Now here's Steve Lyons, Mark James, and Evan Drellick.
We know what we have in front of us. We know it's not going to be easy, but anything we're fighting for is not going to be easy, and it wasn't easy last year. So, yeah, we just pick up where we left off and try to keep the ball rolling and see where it takes us.
All right, that's the new $145 million man, Chris Sale. I am Mark James, along with Steve Lyons, Evan Drellick, come to you live from the Lord Hobo Brewing Company in Woburn for WEI Red Sox Roundtable. No, nothing came easy last year. Nothing whatsoever. There were some ups and downs. I mean, Sale wasn't healthy. I remember there was some point like mid-August, they were going to minimize his innings because he was hurting so bad.
Well, they tried, and they brought him back for, you know, they gave him one go after he came off the DL. Whoops, that wasn't a good idea. It was against Baltimore, and he's still throwing 97. The whole problem all along was don't throw so hard.
Yeah,
scale it back a little
right
bit.
Back.
When do you?
I got to hand it to you though on the trending there. You did.
Steve looks very impressed.
I know you did a nice little change up there when you're talking about the Kraft case. You know, for the first three times you read that, you said there was a new wrinkle in the case, and I kind of thought that was a bad choice of words.
Right.
And this time you said new development.
But so development, yeah, like that's yeah, what like it was down the paper. I try to change it.
I like that.
My University of Miami vocabulary.
Kind of cringed me there.
I know, wrinkle. That's probably not the best choice of words there.
Not in that case.
All right, let's get to your phone call, 617-779-7937, and we got to go to the Aloha State. Sam in Hawaii first. He's been holding for a long time. Hey, Sam. Sam, speak up, please.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's Cam, like Cam Neely. Hey, I must be Dustin Pedroia's last fan.
Why do you think that? All right, Sam, or Cam, whatever your name is. I couldn't understand what
he said. He wants it. This must be Dustin Pedroia's last chance.
He's
still under contract.
Yeah, he's got a bad line all the way from Hawaii.
Yeah, he does. He's got 40.
The string doesn't reach that far.
$40.75 million in three more years.
He ain't going anywhere.
He's
not going to walk away from it.
No.
I mean, at some point, you would hope if it's really kind of dire medically, Pedroia would just be like, you know what? For kind of dignity,
they'll do a package, though, right? He won't walk away from the money, but maybe he'll negotiate down and they'll say, look, let's call it a retirement. You pay me, you know, X amount of dollars, and we'll.
David Wright with the Mets.
Yeah,
that deal wasn't up, but I've had enough. And I think they negotiated something to kind of end it. They didn't make it public.
I thought it was the end of his contract.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't. I think he still
like,
had some
he
time
had,
up.
He all I knew is that this dude played 88 games in the last 4 years and made $88 million.
That's a good gig.
It's not a bad gig if you can get it. Scott in Shrewsbury. What's going on, Scott?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
So I know it's not the simplistic thing, but if I'm boiling it down, from my perspective, the real problem here, it really largely lies with the players and the players' union and the chase after money ball. I can give you three or four examples of how it plays out. But the biggest thing is that they're kind of hypocrites about it all. For their contract negotiations, they go for every penny thinking about their future brethren, they say. You know, I've got to get a, you know, I have to, I can't take a cut because, you know, I've got to make sure that, you know, the guys who follow me are going to make a lot of money. But when it comes to, you know, well, all right, we'll play a different way so the game doesn't die. That's like, no way, I can't do that. No, that's not going to happen. Even though, you know, well, you're not thinking about your future brethren then. And there are all kinds of examples. Games used to be played in a little over 2 hours. And, you know, the shift. All right, guys are terrible punting now. And old players, they could slap it down the third base line you're going to give me an easy base hit.
Scott, I got to stop you because I feel it boiling under my skin here. Why is this all on the players and not the owners? The owners are the ones who have the front office people who, in a lot of ways, dictate what goes on the field by the hiring of the manager, by people who are dedicated to the strategy.
Right.
You're talking about these the salary stuff. Why is it on the players to give up the money? Why shouldn't the owners give up the money?
I'm not asking the players to give up the money. I when you're being a hypocrite, one half of you is right, the other half of you is wrong. You can't say, I'm going for every penny because we earn it and we have to protect the guys.
Aren't you always wrong if you're a hypocrite?
But then on the other hand, but you know what? I'm not going to stand in the batter's box. You know, I'm going to stand outside the batter's box for 15 seconds adjusting my gloves. Make the game slow.
Is that worse than the owners who are making the money off of the TV commercials who have them go for, 50 seconds, 30, whatever it is, the number of commercials? What do you think adds up more, the batting gloves or the commercials?
Because I think commercials, people check out for commercials and that kind of stuff, but when the game you're watching, most of the time you're sitting there watching a guy not being in the batter's box, when a guy doesn't want to bunt or hit down the third baseline because that doesn't give him the kind of stats. When a reliever, who's your closer, won't come in to face the 2, 3, 4 hitters in the eight because he won't get his save, that's a problem with not getting good at baseball game because the players are chasing the money.
One thing, Scott, let me just say, if I can understand one thing that you are alluding to, is that the players' union is the strongest union in the world. They're the ones who, when baseball even brings up the notion of a pitch clock, they kiboshed it. They kiboshed the whole thing, and they just said, no, we're not interested in that. Keep it moving along, and we'll table this for now until 2022. I think maybe that's what he was alluding to.
That is a stubbornness right there that I don't understand. They've tried it in the minor leagues. It seems to work. And, you know, you're now getting more and more pitchers at the major league level that have come through using it. Some of his other arguments that, you know, I don't necessarily agree with. I mean, why don't we, if we're putting so much effort into people in the front office figuring out ways to make the game better, why don't we employ those same guys to figure out how to get guys to hit the ball the other way so that then they wouldn't be shifting?
Right.
It's not
anymore. The players who are refusing to bunt. It's the teams that don't want them to bunt because they're home run hitters. The union is far from perfect. Anybody who looks at anything that's gone on here and says the union doesn't deserve any blame, that's not true. They're the ones who agreed to this collective bargaining agreement that's made free agency what it is and all this. The players got to take a lot on themselves. But to sit there and blame the players and kind of ignore that there is another half here and another half that's contributing to the length of games with things like commercials that's influencing whether guys bunt, it's very much about ownership just as it is the union. I'm not saying the union is perfect.
Chris in Maine, you're up next on WEI Red Sox Roundtable. What's up, Chris?
Hey, I just want to talk about the transition of the game from 20 years ago to now. You're talking about, like, the shift, for example. I don't know if you're saying don't let them shift. But now we know, like, because we have the numbers, we have the data, saying, all right, most of the time this guy hit, he's going to hit the shortstop. So we're going to shift everybody to shortstop to take care of it. But when you're talking about, like, the spirit of the game and all this about the past of the game, they didn't know that then. They didn't have a guy sitting in the back room just figuring out where every single player hit to. Like, now we can do that. We can figure it out. So I feel like when you're talking about shortening the game and talking about, you know, making it, like, better to watch, you can't say, well, don't do the shift, even though you know he's going to hit the shortstop. Don't respond to that. Like, how do you reconcile that?
Well, I think that's kind of what we're saying here to some degree. Is you're basically asking guys to not use their intellect. Like with the three batter minimum for relievers they want to put in for next year. So you mean to tell me we're going to have a World Series come up or playoff game, whatever, huge game, where everyone and their mother knows, watching, that this guy is done, cooked, has nothing this night, but you're going to tell that manager that he can't go out there and make the rules? The rules do dictate everything we see on the field. We can't sit here and say truthfully that rule, you know, how can we let the rules impact the man? Well, the whole game is rules.
Yeah.
But you're so fundamentally changing something that you're going to see the other side of it if it gets into play. You're going to see a World Series lost because you couldn't have a manager pull a reliever when everybody knows you should be able to.
Bill in New Hampshire, you're up next, Bill.
Yep, how you doing?
Good.
A couple quick points. I'll go through them as quick as I can. But I think first thing that's starting bringing young kids into the game is the games are too expensive. You know, to bring your family to a game now costs so much money. I mean, when I was young, you know, we'd go to 10, 15 games a year. You know, when I was in high school, me and my buddies would take the T-N and we'd get tickets on a Friday night. And I think it's just gotten so expensive, like, you can't do that.
Well, baseball's still easily the most affordable game.
Yeah, no doubt, Bill. I mean, it's much cheaper than the NFL, hockey, the NBA, NHL, too. I mean, really. I mean, it's the cheapest.
No, and I agree with you on that. But the thing is, whereas, say, baseball doesn't lend itself to television as well as a football or a, you know, even a basketball, there's so much more to seeing the game live than there is to watching it on sports, especially when you're young. Being at the field, like being there live, is what's going to bring kids into the sport, not watching it on television.
Did you happen to read this story, Bill, on Deadspin today? How much longer will baseball stadiums be for baseball fans? Did you happen to catch that?
No, I didn't get that.
Well, you might be interested in it. Not everything Deadspin does is brilliant and genius these days, but when they actually try to go out there and report a little bit, they do have some good points. And, you know, they're doing things now where you cannot bring a bag in at all under the guise of security. This is in Washington, for example. Oh, but you can pay to have your bag checked inside the stadium, so somebody can look at the bag, say it's safe and secure to bring into the stadium, and you can pay to keep it there, but you can't, once they know it's safe, they know it's safe. You can't bring it up to your seat with your peanut butter and jelly sandwich in it.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's just a little part of the whole where the newer stadiums, taxpayer money.
I think part, you know, part of it too is that you look at the scheduling of the games. You know, there's not a lot of day games. You know, these West Coast, you know, West Coast trips, you know, games are on at 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night.
Well, that's just the victim of a time zone. It happens. You have to play those teams. There's an answer to this question. I don't know it, but when was the last day game in a playoffs? When was the last playoffs that had a day
probably
game?
Probably a wild card game.
When was the last World Series game that
the
there
competition,
was?
Oh. You know, if you're a kid growing up in Pittsburgh or Tampa Bay, or you know, why would you invest your emotions into a team that it obviously has no intentions of winning?
That's a good point, Bill. Appreciate the phone call. And he's right. There are every now and then there's an anomaly. And I think the 2015 Kansas City Royals, when they won it, that was the anomaly. Because you look at all the, you know, pretty much, I mean, the Yankees won 4 out of 5 in the 90s. The Red Sox have won 4 out of 15 since the start of Y2K. San Francisco won 3. You know, so it's a big market sport. Every now and then, Tampa Bay Rays will make a run the World Series. Colorado Rockies will make a run the World Series. But they can't sustain over time. They just can't. The San Diego Padres, guys,
they're making their run this year.
They spent nearly $500 million combined on Manny Machado and Eric Hosmer, who had 2 more home runs last year than Mitch Moreland.
Yeah.
2 more. He got paid $20 million to hit 18 home runs.
But you know what the Padres are doing that's nice?
What?
Did you see this today? They put Fernando Tatis. You played with, at least against Tatis.
Yeah, he's a stud, that kid.
His Fernando Tatis' son is on the opening day Padres roster when, you know, the genius of the front office would say, keep him down for 2 weeks.
Yep.
But no, it's not. This is nice for the fans. If you're a fan, you should appreciate
this.
The
Mets did it as well with Peter Alonso.
Exactly.
They did it with Peter Alonso. You know Vlad Guerrero Jr. He's going to take over the game in Toronto. So,
well, he helped him out because he got hurt, right?
Yes.
Isn't he going to start?
Yes. They were gonna push him in the minors, and then he got hurt. So now the whole thing is moot. But that's one thing that'll help make baseball more appealing. Is if we don't have to sit here and I don't have to whine about the collective bargaining agreement. If we can really just focus on the best players at the best time on the best teams. That's it.
Well, one of the things in terms of marketing, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, a guy you're going to see, I think, tomorrow night when he plays against Virginia Tech, and I had a conversation with a colleague of mine and Steve's at Nesson, and I said to him, I go, I would say Zion Williamson is probably more popular now than 85% of the players in baseball. More of a, if he's walking in Times Square next to Mike Trout and Mookie Betts, more people will know who Zion Williamson is. And the guy said,
"Because he's like 7 feet tall."
He's 6'8". No, but
a little easier to pick up.
No, but he said, he goes, "Oh no, he's more popular than probably every player in baseball." And it just hit me when he said it. But like, here's the thing about Zion Williamson, guys. The NBA hasn't touched him yet. This is ESPN. This is college basketball marketing. When the Phillies acquired Bryce Harper, they have this guy. I mean, look at ladies guy. Every guy wants to be him. Every woman wants to be with him. He's got the Head and Shoulders commercials. Press conference, introductory, $330 million. They introduce him as a bland family man. That's baseball dropping the ball. You have to market your stars.
Yeah, and you know, we already talked about it before. I mean, if you're looking for the face of baseball, Bryce Harper isn't your guy. I mean,
Tim Tebow.
Yeah, there you go.
But you know what? If you asked most people, non-baseball fans, of course, if you said, who's the face of baseball? That's the operative one. Non-baseball fans, most people today would still say Derek Jeter or Big Poppy.
Jeter would be the answer.
Jeter. And he's been retired for almost 5 years.
Yeah.
So what you need him to you need guys to start dating more celebrities.
Well, that's it. Maximum 100.
I'm all for that.
Maximum 100. Yeah, you got to start doing that. All right.
Did they let radio personalities do that too?
Yeah.
Date celebrities.
They let us do anything.
617-779-7937. We're coming to you live from Lord Hobo Brewing Company in Woburn. Red Sox Roundtable. Steve Lyons, Evan Drelk, Mark James. We'll come back and take more of your calls here with you till 10 o'clock.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
From Lord Hobo Brewing Company, Red Sox Roundtable. Now here's Steve Lyons, Mark James, and Evan Drellick.
As much as I respect what you guys do and that question, you know, we're not worried about this or that. We got guys down there that can get the job done. We have guys down there that we all have faith in any situation. Coming in for one out, 3 innings, locking down a save, getting a hold. Flip a coin, you pick a guy, it doesn't matter. We got faith in him.
That's Chris Sale. He will be getting the starting nod tomorrow night in the Red Sox 2019 season opener against the Seattle Mariners, which we're looking forward to. Obviously, you can hear that game right here on WEEI. Joe Castig will have the call tomorrow night. I know we have a bunch of different partners. It's like an all-star.
Josh Lewin tomorrow night.
Josh Lewin tomorrow night. Okay, good. Thank you. You just answered my question, Steve Lyons.
You are on top of everything.
And that's going to be interesting. It's just, I guess what's weird is that I don't ever remember the Red Sox season starting on a day where the NCAA tournament was still going on.
In March, right? Yeah.
It's just
on a
odd.
Thursday.
Well, it's just so you baseball players get more time off, you big babies.
I guess so.
A longer schedule, yeah. 186 days now.
Do you remember the good old days? See, now I'm definitely starting to sound like my dad.
Remember
when the first game? When was the first game in baseball? Always, every day, every season.
It was the day after the college basketball national.
Well,
title
not games. Necessarily the day.
Okay.
Who played it and when did they
Washington.
Play?
Washington. And you would have the president throw out the first pitch. Is that what you're talking about?
Maybe I'm just wrong then. No, Cincinnati. Didn't Cincinnati always played opening day on a Sunday and everyone else opened on Monday? Whoever Cincinnati was playing.
Oh, by the way, you asked a question before and our crack research staff found out the last game to be played during the day in the World Series.
Twins?
Twins Cardinals. 1987.
And that was a dome.
That was a dome.
Yeah. Still. Well,
incredibly long time.
And you talked about it already with the long breaks. The breaks are two minutes and 30 seconds because they're trying to make money. Obviously, the TV is making money, but that's why they don't do day games, because it doesn't draw a big enough TV audience. You don't get the ratings. But then you have the game so late at night, the kids can't watch.
So it's a double-edged sword, basically, what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you. And now I'm back in Boston, and I'll be here for 7 months, I hope. But in the offseason, I live in Los Angeles, and I'm telling you what, I'm not a huge football fan, but I am a Patriots fan, and it is awesome.
To wake up in the morning,
10 o'clock, you have breakfast, you watch another game at 1, you're done with the
crack
final,
open a boom
you're
sauce.
Watching the third game, and you're in bed by 9 o'clock. You guys are up at 1 in the morning trying to watch whoever's playing. I mean, you know, we've all tipped back a few, but you guys are hammered by then. You know, we're having like mimosas and, you know, breakfast watching the first game.
Wow.
We just came back with a Chris Sale soundbite there that I'll call it what it was. Incredibly boring, meaningless, cliche, standard stuff that
we know what's in front of us.
Stock answer.
Yeah, exactly. We get a lot of that these days because people are, you know, afraid of saying the wrong thing and all this. Maybe this is the media mindset sitting in for me, but if you want the players and the game to get better marketed, say something interesting. Be yourself. Let yourself out. And don't be so afraid of a Twitter backlash if you say what's on your mind.
By the way, guys have always gotten burned by things that they say.
Can I tell you?
But what's the worst that happens?
You know, you feel like you're, you know, those guys are sensitive.
Can I tell you the most interesting thing that Chris Sale, in terms, not on the field. On the field, he's a joy to watch. He's exactly, when you talk about pitch clock, you don't need a pitch clock with Chris Sale.
Nope.
Because that guy is going, and every pitcher should strive to do and be as efficient and as quick and as expedient as he is. The most interesting thing Chris Sale's ever done.
Cut up those jerseys, baby.
Yeah, yeah. In Chicago with the White Sox. He didn't like that.
I wish he had gone up to when he had the press conference for the new contract.
Should have brought scissors.
That's it. No, walk up, say nothing.
Yeah.
Just pull out a piece of paper, pull out some scissors in front of all the cameras, just cut them up, crack a smile, and you would have been viral. Everybody would have been talking about it. It would have been hilarious.
How about when he went on the DL and he said it was because he had an infection in his belly button?
That was funny.
He was pretty good with that. Nice. I mean, he's actually a pretty funny. And
You've
been around him when he's let his guard down. And with his teammates, he's great. And he's a funny, you know, charismatic guy. But he's all business. And, you know, he's pretty much made that rule. I'm not going to talk to anybody unless it's after my start. So you hear from him once a week. And then he's really good then. And he's all business. Here's the thing that I've always wondered about, you know, the relationship between players and media. Ask any player who had a bad year the year before, and then this year you're halfway through the season and he's dazzling, and you go to him and you say, you know, what's the difference? And the player will say, well, you know, I have a better game plan this year than I did last year. And then ask him the follow-up question, well, what is that? None of them will be able to tell you what it is. They will not be able to make the answer. What have you done differently at the plate? Well, you know, I changed my game plan. I'm doing something a little different here now that's just working better. What is that? They can't tell you. They have no idea what they've done different.
And we in media are forcing – I actually feel for this situation a little bit because I think sometimes guys – you've probably done it. You just need an answer to something. Well, why'd you pitch better? I don't know. Because Mercury was no longer in retrograde. That's why.
Yeah.
Because Taurus and Sagittarius. Who the hell knows?
The problem is because we've been around doing this for so long, there's no original questions, and there's certainly no original answers. So it's like it's just drudgery.
I will find an original question for you.
Perfect.
I'm going to do it, Steve.
All right. Like, from somebody who I get to cover a lot of Celtics games, and when I'm in the locker room now, as much as this guy can be standoffish and, quite frankly, prickly. I'm talking about Kyrie Irving. At least he gives you something. You know, that's the thing. And I understand there's 162 games in baseball, but sometimes, Evan, and you're in the trenches there every game, you're like, just give us something. Somebody show some sort of pulse or personality that we can go with that's just, you know, and I think that's the point of the void of Pedro and Poppy. It has never been more.
Everybody on that team, go down the list.
Kevin Millar.
I mean, Bill Miller aside, right. But Kevin Millar. Any of these 2004 Red Sox
Bronson
that you remember.
Bronson Arroyo.
Wake up the Dan Bambino. That wasn't, I think it would have been 03 or even earlier than that.
Him in the head.
Right. But look, you're laughing and you're smiling thinking about that because of the bravado and the fact that he had the cojones to say it and then had to come back
and say, just call the Yankees my daddy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he owned, you know, Curt Schilling with Aura and Mystique and the Ladies of the Night, Yankees. You know,
that was good. Arizona.
We're in this for the theater and for the connection to the people. I'm here just to connect with Steve Lyons.
Right.
That's what we're here for. It's not just your
kid. How about Pedro?
Well, it took you 3.5 hours, but you damn sure did it, I'll tell you.
How about Pedro with his little friend who's no longer with us?
Oh, Nelson De La Rosa.
Yeah.
You're talking about his... That was a little questionable because he was using a person as a talisman, which might not have gone so well. But he was colorful. The whole Pedro experience was never just him pitching, which was awesome unto itself.
Right. And I think baseball needs more of that. And they tried doing something last year. You guys will recall this in the All-Star game. They mic'd up Mike Trout and Joe Buck and I believe John Smoltz are talking to him. And he admitted that he's a weather geek and he loves to – he wish he would have been a meteorologist. Well, it's okay, fine, but what do you do – and I get what Fox was trying to do, but what do you do after that? You got to keep doing it. And Mike Trout – Steve, you know, even though you didn't play or against Mike Trout, but you played with a composite. He just wants to show up, do his job – I don't see him, you know, if he does...
Then his Ford F-150 and drive home.
That's it. He's not trying to...
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy who, like, still lives with his parents in New Jersey in the offseason. He's going to get $400 million. He lives... You probably know this. His best friend, and we talked about the difference, his best friend on the team is a pitcher. They live together with their wives during the season. The guy's got $400 million. He doesn't buy his own house down the road.
There's an interesting story there.
There could be a sidebar.
He got more interesting.
There could be a sidebar to that, Steve Lyons, that we don't know about.
Weird,
I don't know.
Stuff. Wow.
Some guys like
But
Trout.
he was mundane, right?
Right.
Hey, I want to be a weatherman. Well, guess what? You're not knocking down $416 million.
No.
You know, saying that it's going to be cloudy tomorrow.
No.
You can't make someone interesting.
Right.
There it is. There it is.
You can't stick Jermaine Wiggins on the radio and expect him just to be great all of the
time. Right.
Well, kidding. I love you, Wiggins.
Right.
Well, Ryan Sandberg, same thing. Could have owned the city of Chicago.
Yeah.
And, you know, well, like, he was the first $7 million man, right? And had the personality of a rock.
And that's just who he wasn't hiding it. He just wasn't
just
that
had
guy.
Nothing to say. And, you know, he could have made as much money off the field as he made on it, but no interest and nothing doing. Like you said, we are who we are. You know, you can't make people.
But Evan's right, though. You can't make somebody interesting.
But these Red Sox, and you're right about Chris Sale. He is interesting. JD Martinez, I swear to you, is interesting. We know a little bit about the hitting, but overall, he's a fascinating cat. Mookie Betts, if he showed more of it, I really think it's there. Bogart's got a great background,
but Mookie doesn't show enough of it, and like he just you don't see it enough with Mookie, and that's fine. But like you wish you could see more of his personality that you could just wrap your arms around. And it's nothing against him. Listen, he's arguably the best player in baseball. At least he was in the American League last year.
We need
MVP.
Better media members to get it out of him.
Perhaps
I'll take the blame on this.
All right. Mark in Rockport.
Reinvent yourself and come back.
Mark in Rockport, you're up next on WEI Red Sox
like
Roundtable. What's up, Mark?
Yeah,
Waking 180.
It's coming.
Hey, Mark.
Evan there.
Yeah, I'm here. What's up, Mark?
So let me get this straight. A couple of minutes ago, you're kind of mocking Chris Sale. Did you ever play sports, by the way?
Oh, Jesus, Mark. I was mocking the quote. I think Sale's a very interesting guy. Yes, I played sports.
Yeah, you're a desk jockey, and because he's got the back of his relief corps, you're making fun of his statement because he's got their
back. I'm making fun of the canned quote. It was a cliched quote.
Hey, Mark,
you're really riding the wrong horse here.
Yeah, Mark, he gives a lot of stock answers.
You've got to be kidding me.
I'm sorry. Do you know how often, Mark, or anybody, do you hear the cliches? Like, I'm going to, in my head.
Contrive stock answers. Boom. It's like after a game, you know, I just didn't have it today. Contrive stock answers. Pull those string in the back, and it's just the same thing over and over and over again. So, like I say, when and I bring up because of a guy like Kyrie Irving, when he gets surly.
This is how sensitive people are.
Right.
This is why nobody wants to show themselves.
Hey.
This guy right here, hey. Mark and whatever.
In Rockport. When Kyrie gets surly with the media, it's entertaining. It's all over SportsCenter. I mean, I asked him, you know, the thing that him and I got into it. I'm like, you know, hey, what's your confidence level in this team after they lost four in a row? He goes, what do you mean? I go, what's your confidence level? He goes, what kind of question is that? And I'm like, a legitimate question. But it makes for... That's okay because at least it's something interesting.
Yeah.
You know, like Kyrie Irving will never be considered boring. He will never be, and that's one of the things that you want to see a little bit more with these guys. I get it. They play 162 games a year, spring training 6 weeks long. I mean, this thing is like, it's a light. They're probably with their teammates more than their own families.
You know what we haven't done? What? The little time that we have in our Red Sox round table?
Predictions?
We haven't done predictions.
We'll do that. All right, coming up next, we will do predictions. We'll get them all from there. Final segment.
Someone's going to win.
Red Sox round table right here. Lord Hobo Brewing Company in Woburn. Evan Drelk, Steve Lyons, Mark James. And we'll get you ready for Red Sox 2019 season opener tomorrow against Seattle.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Live from Lord Hobo Brewing Company, Red Sox Roundtable, previewing the 2019 season.
segment here on WEEI Red Sox Roundtable, coming to you live from Lord Hobo Brewing Company in Woburn, which, again, want to thank everybody who came out here tonight.
Oh, yeah.
The owner, Daniel Lanigan, we've got some boom sauce we'll get to take home, which is very nice. I'll get to try it. I know Drellick got a chance to partake in some of that in the beginning of the show.
Feeling good.
Evan, Nordstrom's Rack is fantastic, isn't
great,
it?
Great store.
I love
great
that store.
Nordstrom, yeah. Nordstrom Rack. I'm a cardholder.
Yep. There you go.
I better get paid for that.
In the born in the Pacific Northwest, Seattle.
Oh, Nordstrom's. I know. The late, great Paul Allen and Nordstrom. Like, you know, it's... That family out there, right? Like they.
Did they start at Nordstrom's?
Yes. That Nordstrom did, and Paul. Well, Paul Allen didn't, but Nordstrom started out there.
Right.
Someone told me out there that they have like a, in Seattle, they're like near that you can, it's like you have like a drive-through
coffee place.
No, but like a drive-through where you can pick up like your stuff that you buy, and they just bring it to you
at Nordstrom's or Nordstrom.
Yeah.
I don't know. In Seattle, it's worse than this town. In Seattle, you go into a shoe store, you can get coffee.
Anyway,
you know, it's coffee everywhere there.
Yeah, well, some of us are caffeine addicted to bring you the highest energy radio output possible.
That's all right, predictions. Predictions for this season, Major League Baseball season 2019 coming up. Red Sox, I say 95 wins. They don't win the division, but they make it to the playoffs. Could make a run. I think Houston, though, probably wins it all this year. I thought Houston was going to win it last year. I don't know if their starting rotation is as good as it was a year ago because they lost Keuchel, unless they bring him back.
They re-sign him.
They let them re-sign him.
Last year they had 6 starting pitchers that were better than most guys.
Yeah, yeah.
The Astros, yes.
Astros, too?
Give me a second of the World Series winner. My division winner is the Red Sox because I picked the Yankees the last 2 years, and they've beaten me into submission. Every time I pick against the Red Sox... And I really want to hear. Pacoda, the nerdy baseball perspective. They did it. Everybody's with me. But I've learned my lesson. They've kicked my ass too many times. 97 wins. Red Sox win the division by a game or two. Let me think on the World Series real quick.
I think the Red Sox will win the division, too. I think the Yankees will be a much better team, which, you know, they won 100 games last year, too. And I think the Red Sox, just by simple fact of their bullpens in what I would say a little bit of disarray right now, well, you know, when half the guys in your bullpen are guys that you actually have to keep, not that you want to keep, that can be a potential problem. So, you know, I think the Yankees take a step forward. The Red Sox probably take a step back. I think that makes the division a lot closer. But here's what I hate about predictions. Nothing stays the same. We can look at it on paper right now and say what we think. Number one, you know, things are going to happen. People are going to get hurt. And then the trading deadline changes everything always for every team. So you're like, oh, well, yeah, I picked the Red Sox to win.
That's one good change.
I was going to say just one trade deadline. No non-waiver and waiver. Just one.
Right?
Yeah.
You'd rather have the old way?
No, that's fine with me. You know, make your deal. And, you know, if you want to make a deal, make a deal. If you don't, then don't be sneaking in the back door.
How surprised were each one of you? Because I know I was. I was almost like shocked that the Yankees didn't get either Machado or Harper.
They were saving their money for Trout. Well,
I don't know if think he's leaving anytime
soon. I was actually hoping that Machado would go to the Yankees. Let him screw that team up for a while.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Would have been perfect for the villain narrative and the you know, after he cursed out everybody on the Red Sox and their mother in 2017 and striking
out. And hurt Pedroia.
Right. The animosity between Machado and the Red Sox already existed, and he wanted to go to the Yankees. It would have helped the marketing just a little bit.
Yeah, it would have, and he didn't. And usually the Yankees, they're always going to get one of those guys that you mentioned. All right, they're going to put all their their money on the table next year for Mike Trout or whatever. Well, that's gone.
Yeah.
He's got 440 million reasons that he's not going anywhere anytime soon, if ever.
Dodgers. Dodgers are winning the World Series.
Wow.
That's my prediction.
Wow. They
got to do it eventually. At some point, it's got to happen. You can't get this. You know, I feel bad.
They might not make it there.
They get so close every year.
Well, there's only 2 good teams in the National League. That bottom line is, if you pick the 10 top teams, 8 of them are American League teams, right? You look at the Dodgers in Milwaukee. After that, you got nothing. That's why I kind of said before, whoever won the American League last year would have beaten the Dodgers, in my opinion. I just think they're that far. The entire league is that far behind the class of the American League.
Yeah. The NL East is interesting.
The Dodgers would be going to...
But we'll do that 4-hour show another day.
Yeah, the Dodgers would be going to their 3rd straight World Series, right? If they go this year?
3rd straight.
Yep.
3rd straight. That's crazy. I mean, that's incredible.
That's getting to the altar a lot.
Yeah. I mean, you got to...
And you know why? And certainly why they lost against the Astros, and to a lesser degree, the Red Sox. Because I think the Red Sox, even if they lost Game 4, which they should have lost Game 4, you lose in 18 innings the night before, you don't win the next night. You it's too much of a hangover for you. And so now the series is tied 2-2. Plus, if you leave Buehler in the game, yep, they win that game. Their analytics told them to take him out of the game.
Right.
And 2 years ago against Houston, their analytics told them to take Rich Hill out two different times in the fourth inning, blew out their bullpen, and by the time they got to Game 6 and 7, they were toast because of the analytics. Now, what they will say is the analytics have won us like seven straight division titles and got us to the World Series 2 years in a row, all well and good. Most fans would take that, but you have to have a feel for the game at some point, and I think that's why the Red Sox do well. Number one, they're not all-or-nothing players. They're not launch angle guys. They'll take a base hit. They'll take a walk. They'll get on base, and they'll do some damage. And they mix a lot of analytics, and then they give Alex Cora a chance to have a feel for what he sees along with the analytics. And it's not cut and dried. Oh, third time through the order, he's gone. Uh-uh. He's throwing the hell out of the ball. I'm leaving him in there. And that's what they should have done with Buehler, and they would have won that game.
Risk takers. Yeah. Risk takers.
Give me a over-under end of May. Or how about mid-May? Mid-May, does Red Sox Nation start to lose their patience with David Price?
They might lose. Game 5, they might lose their patience with him. He's not ready to go.
He had the flu. He'll be fine.
Well, he just pitched against the Cubs and gave up 6.
Yeah.
Oh, it's spring. You know.
Yeah,
we've heard that before.
All right.
What, did he make 2 starts? Porcello make 2 starts?
They're building up slowly.
Sale made 2 starts?
They need their rest.
What about
Steve?
Command?
They have to be well-groomed and rested for the stretch run.
It's a scary proposition.
You'll be able to hear tomorrow the call, the Red Sox, Seattle Mariners. It's going to be Josh Lewin along with the great Jokestig right here on WEI. Thank you to our fine engineers who did a great job tonight. Ben Charleston back in the studio. And of course, Daniel Lanigan from Lord Hobo Brewing.
Can we plug the pre and post game show on Nesson, even though
pre
the game's
and post?
On,
we're
doing pre and post on Nesson, even though the game's on ESPN.
Okay, good. Evan Drellick, Steve Lyons. Evan and I will be together on Saturday, I believe 11 to 3.
I'll be in tomorrow morning, 7 a.m.
Yeah, and early.
Very nice. All right, guys, appreciate you listening and have a great night.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.